Welcome to a very special episode, our Hot New Releases episode for Fall 2023. Over the years, can you believe that we have featured over 130 authors and books on the Best of Women's Fiction podcast? Each season, we like to highlight the latest releases from some of our past guests, which is what we'll do in this episode. And the fun thing is, not all of our featured authors write only in the women's fiction genre. So in this episode, we have a range of books to share with you, going from emotional and romantic women's fiction to historical fiction, domestic suspense, and even an apocalyptic holiday tale. Let's get going and introduce you to some great new reads. Let's kick off with a novel coming in early December that will appeal to lovers of book club fiction and women's fiction with tones of domestic suspense. Jessica Strasser joined me back in 21 to talk about A Million Reasons Why, which told the story of two women who were linked by a DNA test as half-sisters. Her new release, which like I said is coming in December, it's been described as a powerful and evocative page-turner. Let's have Jessica tell us more.
The Last Caretaker opens when a woman named Katie takes a job as resident caretaker at a very large, very remote nature reserve. 900 acres of forest and old farmland, and she is signing on to be the lone resident. And to be honest, she is not really sure she has the skill set to be immersed in nature this way, but she's looking to start over after a rough divorce, and it's a pretty sweet gig. Comes with a fully furnished farmhouse, so she has a plan to fake it until she makes it. What she's not expecting is for an injured, frantic woman to show up at her door in the middle of nowhere on her very first night on this job. And this woman is clearly expecting a safe place to hide. Little by little, it becomes pretty obvious to Katie that her predecessor in this role was part of an underground network that was helping domestic violence victims escape and assume new identities. She pieces together what was going on bit by bit as she connects the dots to the other women in this network, and she finds herself involved sort of by default on a trial basis. But one question hovers over everything, which is, what happened to the last caretaker? She's nowhere to be found, and Katie becomes more and more unsure why this job was ever open in the first place. She has no idea who she can trust and who are really the good guys here, but she needs to decide. Is she going to rise to the occasion and step into this role by day and by night? Or is she going to decline and let these women down? And regardless of what she decides, is she safe out there? What is she willing to risk in the name of doing the right thing? You'll have to read it to find out, and I hope you will.
I asked Jessica who she thinks will especially enjoy this latest novel.
I think The Last Caretaker will appeal to readers of suspense and readers of book club fiction. There's definitely a mystery here where Katie finds herself playing Nancy Drew, trying to figure out what the heck she's gotten herself into. But this is also a story that deals with bigger themes of starting over and the power of friendship and finding connections in unexpected places. I hope it's an empowering novel as well as a page turner. And all my favorite books are the ones that as soon as I'm done reading them, I want to give them to a friend and say, please, you've got to read this too, because we need to talk about it. And I hope The Last Caretaker is a book like that.
Wow, that latest novel from Jessica Strasser sounds so good. I want to read that one. And talking of books that raise questions and make you think, here's another very similar in that vein. Jen Craven joined us last year to talk about her debut, which was set on a college campus, Best Years of Your Life. Her new release, The Baby Left Behind, is an emotional story about family secrets and what makes a good parent. Let's hear from Jen about it.
The Baby Left Behind is what I refer to as a women's fiction domestic suspense mashup. The story centers on Kate, a 41-year-old woman whose long dream of motherhood, but who suffers from a rare medical condition that prevents the possibility of pregnancy. When an adoption falls through at the last minute, she's absolutely devastated. But then a baby shows up on her doorstep with a note that says, "Take him, please forgive me." Kate must then make the hardest decision of her life, do what's right and call the police, or keep the baby and pass him off as her own. I think you guys can probably guess which one she chooses.
The early blurbs for The Baby Left Behind say it's perfect for fans of Jodi Picoult, Jojo Moyes, and Kate Hewitt. I asked Jen to tell us a little bit more about why that is. In particular, what are the themes in this book?
The Baby Left Behind contains themes of motherhood, identity, and redemption. The split-second choices, followed by the consequences, serve as excellent conversation starters, making it perfect for book clubs. I love hearing from my readers saying that they found themselves questioning what they would do in the protagonist's situation. Because at the end of the day, desperate people do desperate things, and that's what makes for a page-turning read.
Let's move to another novel with family themes. J. Marie Rehnquist joined us last year to talk about her debut novel, All I'm Asking. And she's already back with her sophomore release just the next year. As You Were Mine is family fiction at its best. I asked J. Marie to tell us more about it.
As Though You Are Mine is about a woman, Julie, who becomes guardian to her four-year-old twin niece and nephew after her brother and sister-in-law die in a car accident. The twist? They're actually biologically her children, as she had donated eggs to her sister-in-law. And no, they weren't fit for lives by her brother. Instead, her brother-in-law donated his sperm. Readers will call this story an emotional one, and it's because it focuses on new parenthood, which is already full of challenges, compounded by the trauma of loss, and not just for the children. While Julie wasn't close to her brother, nor any of her other family members, grief is complicated, and her family will come together in surprising ways to support one another.
I asked J. Marie what inspired this as the topic for her second novel.
I wrote the story based upon the concept that when a child dies, families will often either grow closer together or break apart entirely. Except for Julie's family, they were already estranged from one another. So what happens then? Julie discovers that maybe the story she had in her head about her parents and her siblings isn't the full story of who they are or who she is herself. Readers who enjoy complex family relationships will be drawn to this journey of loss and trauma and the ways we come together to help each other through it. As Though Your Mind is ultimately a story of hope, love, and new beginnings. It might make you cry, but in the end, I hope those tears will also be happy ones.
Let's keep with the emotional theme and add some romantic elements. I've been lucky enough to read the first two books in the Goodbye Orchid trilogy by Carol Vandenhende, and she joined us on the podcast to talk about them. The third book, Always Orchid, just released, and I'm very excited to read it. Let's hear more from Carol.
Hi, this is Carol Vandenhende, author of the Goodbye Orchid series and mom to a child with special needs. His challenges honestly sparked me to notice stories in the news about combat wounded veterans and inspired me to start writing this beautiful, emotional series. My newest book is Always Orchid. It's a love story that transcends culture, disability, and superstition. Always Orchid is the finale to the Goodbye Orchid trilogy, but can be read as standalone. You'll meet Phoenix Walker, the kind-hearted head of an ad agency who heroically saved a man's life, but believes that his resulting injuries make him the exact wrong person for the woman he loves, Orchid Page. He knows that Orchid witnessed the death of her parents as a child, and that her PTSD is triggered by images of trauma. He vows to protect her, even if it's from himself. Now, beautiful half-Asian Orchid Page has always had to fight for everything in her life. After losing her parents, trust hasn't come easily for her. And what if she believes that their relationship is worth fighting for? They can only work if he moves with her on assignment to China. They then discover that China still holds deep-rooted superstition about people with disabilities, believing that bad deeds in a previous life result in disability in the current life. So read Always Orchid to find out if Phoenix and Orchid can overcome the odds and find a way to be together, or whether their love will be torn apart by the forces that seem to be working against them. Now, readers who are going to enjoy Goodbye Orchid and Always Orchid and Orchid Blooming, the entire trilogy, include book club readers who love the discussability of these books. These books have themes of identity, forgiveness, and the redemptive power of love. Always Orchid is perfect for fans of Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin and Fault in Our Stars by John Green, minus the tragedy, What I've heard from readers is that people who've been through medical difficulty feel very seen on the pages of the Goodbye Orchid series. People who haven't been through those medical challenges also feel that this story really deepens their empathy. Multiple Purple Heart decorated veterans have endorsed the series, like Sergeant Brian Anderson, whom you may have seen in the movie American Sniper with Bradley Cooper, and Sergeant Noah Galloway, whom you may have seen competing in Dancing with the Stars, placing third place finalists. So if you like relatable characters, surprising twists, and stories that pull on your emotions, you're going to love the award-winning journey in Always Orchid to Unconditional Acceptance.
Let's move to some historical fiction. Penny Ha, award-winning author of The Wilderness Between Us, joined Ashley Hastie in 2022 to talk about her first historical fiction, The Invincible Ms. Cust. Now she's back with a second historical, and she's picked an interesting figure in the history of the automobile industry that I didn't know anything about. Let's hear more.
The Woman at the Wheel is historical fiction based on the true story of Bertha Benz, who was the wife of Carl Benz. Carl Benz invented the first commercially viable automobile and in 1886 patented the Benz Motorwagen. Years later, this evolved into the Mercedes-Benz mark, which we know today. So Carl is known as the father of the automobile. However, what isn't widely known is that his wife, Bertha Benz, played an integral role in the invention and the business and the success of the vehicle and the family in fact. So The Woman at the Wheel tells the story of how, as a child, Bertha was intrigued initially by the business of her father, who was a master builder in Pforzheim, and then a little later by what was happening around her by way of technology and industry. This was at a time when the train was one of the world's most startling inventions. Bertha was a woman who was more interested in the steam engine than in needlepoint and embroidery. And when she met Carl, she not only fell in love with him, but also his dream of creating a horseless carriage. She was so fascinated by his vision and his passion and his engineering mind that she found a way of investing her dowry and her inheritance in his fledgling business before they were even married. I mean, she was a woman of great foresight. They struggled for many years, but she worked alongside him, as passionate and driven as Carl was, and also bringing several other critical skills of her own to their endeavors. Carl was a great engineer and inventor, but also brought a whole lot of other skills which helped the business evolve. She was a remarkable woman. They had five children. She had some amazing adventures along the way. And celebrating her achievements in The Woman at the Wheel gave me great pleasure, and I hope that it will give readers as much pleasure. Who will enjoy reading The Woman at the Wheel? It's historical fiction. It is based in the late 1800s and set in Pforzheim and Mannheim in Germany. But it's also a biographical fiction in that it is based on the life of a real person in history. Like my previous historical fiction, that one was called The Invincible Ms. Cust and told the story of Britain and Ireland's first woman veterinary surgeon, The Woman at the Wheel will appeal to readers who enjoy the stories of people from history who are not widely celebrated, the unsung heroes and heroines. Bertha Benz was a visionary and an entrepreneur. She was a woman ahead of her time, and she was an extraordinary businesswoman. And that's in fact how I came across her. I was working as a business journalist years ago, and I was looking at writing an article on women in technology from history. And I came across a small piece about his journey on the Motorwagen over 106 kilometers between Mannheim and Pforzheim with her teenage sons. And when I read that, I thought there's a lot more to this woman than meets the eye, because someone's not just going to wake up one morning and take an extraordinary machine out of the workshop and say to her teenage sons, come, we're going to go and visit grandmama and take off into the distance. That was how I became intrigued with her. She was a businesswoman. She was a brilliant mind. She was as much of a visionary as her husband. And I think that people who like that kind of story will enjoy it. She not only worked alongside Carl in the workshop in the early days, she also raised 5 children. She had friendships and she had relationships with her parents and her sisters. So there's a story of family there. There's a story of friendships, particularly female friendships, which we explore here a little bit and how things can go wrong there when there is jealousy involved. But it's also a love story between her and Carl. So there's a lot of things happening and there's also quite a bit of adventure. So I think if you like that kind of story, if you like the historical setting, if you want to celebrate someone of who's inspiring and whose story of resilience and foresight and passion is encouraging, I think you'll enjoy it. Thanks very much.
Christina Consolino joined us in 2021 to chat about her debut novel, Rewrite the Stars. Now she's back to chat with us about The Weight We Carry, a heartbreaking and emotional story of the toll that health crises can have on an entire family.
My next novel, The Weight We Carry, is women's fiction or book club fiction told through 3 points of view. The story centers on Frank Raffaello, a retired serviceman who loves his family but doesn't always understand them or their motivations. An accidental fall forces Frank to rely on his 3 adult children, Gabe, the oldest, who is in the military and lives abroad, Nico, the youngest, who is keeping a secret from his family, and Marissa, the quintessential middle child, who wants to feel like she belongs and matters to her family. Marissa is a nurse practitioner, and with time, she realizes Frank's health isn't the only issue. Angie, his wife of 42 years, seems to be exhibiting abnormal memory loss. When Angie's denial of her symptoms results in dangerous consequences, the Raffaelli family understands that life as they know it is about to change. In 2015, my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. That summer, I spent many hours with my parents, and I sat with my mom as she was assessed for cognitive changes. This book reflects my experiences from that summer and beyond, and exposes the toil and hardship that a health crisis can cause on everyone close to it. The book also tackles motherhood, marriage, family dynamics, sibling relationships, loss, grief, and more.
I asked Christina to tell us who this novel will especially appeal to.
My hope is that anyone who has been or currently is a part of the Sanders generation will appreciate The Weight We Carry. People who have experienced a major health crisis that requires cooperation from the entire family will likely see themselves in this book. Caregivers, family members, friends, and anyone who has witnessed the cognitive decline and behavior that comes with dementia will understand the story all too well. I also hope that readers who like strong female characters and close sibling relationships will enjoy The Weight We Carry.
And last, Charlotte Tune is going to introduce us to a fun book that I've already had a chance to read. Charlotte joined us back in June 2023 for the Women's Fiction Special episode, where I asked some industry experts to join me and talk about the future of the women's fiction genre. Her latest release, Acid Christmas, is speculative apocalyptic fiction with psychedelic elements and 2 strong female leads. But let me have Charlotte tell you a little bit more about what she writes and about this new novel.
Hi, I'm Charlotte Dune, and I write psychedelic fiction with unusual female characters. You might have read my last 2 novels, Cactus Friends or Mushroom Honeymoon. In my newest book, Acid Christmas, I tell the tale of 5 strangers trapped by an unexpected blizzard in the Toronto airport over the holidays. The tale of Acid Christmas is narrated by a Tim Hortons donut hole flipper, a man named Teddy with the crooked tooth, who moonlights as a stand-up poet. Our lead in the story is Candy, a disgruntled flight attendant still grieving the premature murder of her husband. With her return home flight grounded by the storm, she soon makes friends and meets Vibes, a young, exuberant fashion influencer, and Frank, his opposite, a condescending wealth manager. The 3 try to pass the time in the airport with booze, conversations, and walks through the packed terminal, but the weather outside is not at all delightful, and they soon start to worry. That's when they meet Gretchen, a weary freelance journalist who's been snooping out what's really been going on in the airport. As their paths converge, it soon becomes very clear that the blizzard is not a work of nature. But what it is, they don't yet know. Is it a weather attack? Extraterrestrial? Supernatural? No one can tell, though there's a lot of speculation, and the tinfoil hats are all out and about. The temperature is dropping, but that's not the only thing. When Candy finds a book of art and LSD in a stranger's jacket, that's when the real trip begins. Acid Christmas is a dark, but funny, twisted, but ridiculous, sometimes disgusting tale of just how fast society can break down when no one knows what's actually going on.
So, to take us home, let's have Charlotte tell us about who'll enjoy her latest. And I can tell you, I did. This one was so much fun.
You'll enjoy Acid Christmas if you like apocalyptic fiction with dark humor and an ensemble cast. It will also appeal to fans of the movie Annihilation, the novel Station 11, and the book Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, as well as the movie The Day After Tomorrow. I also threw in some Canadian bacon. We've got Christmas trees, bad airport food, stale donuts, cold coffee, hungry raccoons, yoga pants, climate change horror, lockdowns, and airport security gone wrong. I mean, what else could you ask for this acid Christmas? Oh yeah, and there is a new COVID variant on the loose and something very strange outside the window. So buckle up your seatbelt and grab your oxygen mask.
And that's it. That's our roundup of fun, interesting, exciting, emotional new novels that you might be interested in checking out. I hope you found at least one book that piqued your interest, and wishing you the best at the end of this episode. That's all from Lainey Cameron.